Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. June 14th marks the 20th anniversary of one of the most memorable nights in New York hockey history, when the Rangers broke a 54-year curse and beat Vancouver for the Stanley Cup.
The waiting is over! The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions! And this one will last a lifetime!
Some fans had been waiting their entire lives for that night, including perhaps the world's number one Rangers chronicler, Stan Fischler, better known in Metro ranks as the Hockey Maven. Fischler was a charter member of the Rangers fan club in 1950 and has gone on to cover the Blue Shirts and the Devils, the Islanders, and the rest of the NHL for decades, in print and on the air. As another hockey season comes to a close, Fischler joins us to discuss his newest book, We Are the Rangers, an oral history of one of hockey's original six, out now from Triumph Books. Stan Fischler, welcome to the Roundtable.
My pleasure to be here.
How did you first get interested in Rangers hockey?
Well, when I was about 7 years old, this was 1939, my father was supposed to take me to see Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which was the big kids' movie at that time. And when we got out of the subway near Times Square, it was raining very hard, and we didn't have an umbrella, and we happened to be right next to Madison Square Garden, which then was on 8th Avenue and 50th, and we walked out. And since we didn't have an umbrella, and since the theater was four or five blocks away, my father said, I'm going to take you to a hockey game. And that he did. And that was the beginning of my love affair with hockey.
What did you like about it?
The first thing that struck me was the sign. There was a big sign as you entered the garden, just inside the lobby, and it said, watch hockey, the fastest game on earth. And that in itself intrigued me. And when I got in and I started to watch, the speed of the game was the first exciting aspect. I also liked the uniforms. The uniforms were very colorful, and as they still are. And, of course, there are always individual players that will catch fans' attention. And first game, we were watching the Rangers farm team was then called the Rovers, and they were playing Washington. Washington had a very good player named Normie Burns, and he had blonde hair. So I immediately dubbed him the Lone Ranger from the Cowboy Lone Ranger, and he scored a 3-goal hat trick, and Washington won. And the next day, I went to school. I was in third grade then. And my teacher, Mrs. Gould, asked me to do a show and tell. That was a big thing in school. And I picked out the hockey goalie, and I was really into it because the goalie fascinated me. And I got an A from Mrs. Gould. So I said, this hockey ain't too bad. And I started to go every week after that.
How was it different then from the way the game is played today?
Well, it's the difference between tangerines and Cadillacs. There's virtually no comparison. First of all, none of the players wore helmets. That's number one. Number two, none of the goalies wore masks. And the players were much smaller than they are now, so there was a lot more room on the ice. And you had an entirely different style of game than the kind we see today. But the body checking, for example, was considerably different. Hip checking, open ice checking was the way you stopped the guy, not smashing him into the boards. And it was, everything about it was different. For example, when two players would get into a fight and they went to the penalty box, they didn't go to separate boxes. There was only one penalty box, and they sat next to each other on the same bench. Of course, it would be unheard of today.
Yeah. What about as a fan following hockey today? You could watch every game on your iPhone or whatever. But I have to imagine back then, you know, you didn't get to see as many games.
Well, first of all, the main source of information was the newspaper. you bought whatever your paper. My father used to buy the World Telegram in Manhattan, and they had a wonderful hockey writer named James Burchard. So you'd get, you know, you'd get a Rangers story, either a pregame or a postgame story the next day, and that's where you got your information. There were very few, you know, radio broadcasts usually started after the first period of the Ranger games. And every so often, from my little home in Brooklyn, I was able to pick up a Canadian broadcast from Toronto. And, of course, the dean of hockey broadcasters then was Foster Hewitt. And listening to Foster Hewitt was just a thrill in itself. So there was no television, you know, none of the modern computer-activated stuff that you have today. So we considered, you know, we considered listening to a broadcast very precious stuff. And, of course, when TV finally came along in the 1950s, you know, again, it was a different thing, but we appreciated it. Now you got so much hockey. I mean, I can't even tell kids today what I went through trying to listen to a game from Toronto. It would go in and out according to the weather. So it's a whole different world.
Do you like it as much as you did then?
Well, it's a great question because, again, we're talking about a totally different type of sport. And I base it on the thrill factor. My wife Shirley and I were home watching the Detroit-Boston playoff. And it was nothing like the game that my first playoff game I ever saw was in 1948 at the Garden, Rangers in Detroit. And it was tremendously exciting, but different. Of course, as I said, you know, even, you know, the goalies play it differently than they do, than they did then. The speed of the game is incredible compared to the way it was. And but it's as thrilling. And that's why we watched it right into through the overtime.
How did you get your first job out of college working for the Rangers?
When I was going to college, Brooklyn College, from 50 to 54, I knew what I wanted to do, and that was get into hockey. But I didn't know how I was going to do it. And when I was a sophomore, which would have been 1952, like every student, I had to have a meeting with my faculty advisor. His name was William Pitt. Related to the Pitts of Pittsburgh, believe it or not. And William Pitt asked me what I wanted to do. I said, I want to get into hockey. He says, wait a minute. He picked up the phone. And he called up Stan Saplin, who was then the beat writer for the New York Journal American newspaper. And Stan Saplin had been in the Navy with William Pitt. And Pitt told Saplin to take me to lunch. And basically, that was my first in. And I also was vice president of Rangers fan club, and I was writing in the fan club newspaper. So that meant I was around the Garden offices a fair amount. And I did a newsletter for nothing for Tommy Lockhart, who was the business manager of the Rangers. So I had a lot of contacts while I was still in college. And when I graduated, Herb Gorin, who was then the PR man for the Rangers, had known me for a couple of years now. And he called me up one day, and he said, would you like to work for the Rangers? And I thought I was, you know, dreaming that I was hearing this. And I said, well, of course. And he said, well, I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. And believe me, the time between he hung up and when he called me the next day, I don't think I slept a wink.
You know, it's hard for me to imagine watching any of the New York area teams without thinking of your impact. So I'm glad you got that job in the first place. But I wondered if you could take us through the three different, you know, New York City Metro teams and how you would characterize each of them and their fan bases today. They've all had a little bit of success throughout the years in separate times. But here we are with, you know, three very compelling teams in their own way.
Well, the Islanders I covered through on television, that is. I started covering the Islanders in 75. And I watched the team grow. They already had been a couple of years in the making. They started in 72, 73. And I was there when they made their first playoff appearance in spring of 75. That's when they knocked off the Rangers in the first round. They were down 3 to Pittsburgh, won 4 in a row, and then they played the Flyers, and they got knocked out in 7. And I watched them grow into a dynasty. And the dynastic years were incredible. 4 cups in a row, 19 straight series playoff wins, and a marvelous bunch of guys to boot. Arguably the greatest team of its kind, hockey or otherwise. And then, naturally, after the guys got older, the team lost a little bit of its luster, but still did well. And, of course, things turned sour from 1994, basically, with a couple of good years till now, which, of course, has been down. But the fan base is very strong. And, you know, a big, big, you get a game at the Island that has any significance, like last year in the playoffs, the fans are there. So the fan base is there. The Devils, of course, had 3 cup wins, and I covered every one of those. And 2 years ago, they were in the final with the L.A., which was a tremendous event. And, of course, the Rangers, post-Messier years, have been up and down, but they've always been exciting.
Can you believe it's been 20 years since the 94 run?
No, because when you cover a team the way I do, or teams, and you love what you're doing, the time really does fly. And so, you know, when you ask me, when I mention Messier, it seems like, well, maybe it happened 2 or 3 years ago, but not that long. That's just the way it feels. And we talk about it a lot over the years. But we talk about various teams, guys. So it's always front and center. And that's why it doesn't feel that it was so long.
As you were putting together the oral history of the Rangers, did you yourself learn anything about this team you've been following, you know, for for a long time?
Well, when I do research, I always find something that I didn't know. And I'll give you an example. A Canadian writer named Darcy Jenisch wrote a terrific history of the National Hockey League. It's called NHL, a Centennial History. Came out last November. And this guy did research that I never thought possible, because he got access to all of the notes, the minutes of the league meetings dating back to 1917. And what I learned was how the New York Americans became the first New York team in the NHL in 1925, which I knew, but the inside stuff was fascinating, because the guy who owned the first New York NHL team, which was the Americans, was one of the biggest gangsters in America, Big Bill Dwyer. He was a bootlegger. And he was the kingpin of bootlegging in New York State. And the ironic part of it was, on opening night in 1925, the first game, NHL game ever, in Madison Square Garden, the owner of the Americans, who was the home team on opening night, was in jail. That was an interesting twist.
You've been around the game for so long. We've seen hockey, you know, have a couple of work stoppages, and people are always wringing their hands about where the future fans are coming from and so on. What do you think the health of the league is?
Well, the league is very healthy, but you can take any league, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball, you'll always find some weaker franchises. Now, in the NHL right now, they have a lot of problems in Phoenix. The league was operating for 3 years. And Gary Bettman, who is an excellent commissioner, by the way, found an owner. So Phoenix now has an owner. The Florida Panthers have a new owner. And now the Devils have a new owner. But overall, the health of the league is very good. Every single playoff game so far has been a sellout. TV ratings are good. They had six outdoor games, including one in Ann Arbor that drew more than 103,000 people for hockey games. Incredible. So the league is doing well, very well. It has issues. Concussions are a major issue in the league now. Dirty play generally is being studied. But in terms of the excitement, it's right up at the top.
Stan Fischler is the hockey maven. He's the author of the new book, We Are the Rangers, The Oral History of the New York Rangers, which is published by Triumph. And you can catch him wherever hockey is being played. And Stan, it's just been an honor to have you on the show, so thank you so much.
Well, I enjoyed it just as well. Thank you.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.